hello and welcome to edition 186, 186, good, getting near 200, aren't we, of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula 1 podcast, recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, as tweeted by Russell Crowe. And brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game and prepare for your summer break by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is Michael Bailey. I am a sports journalist and I am here for this podcast where we are going to preview the 2017 Hungarian Grand Prix, the last one before the mid-season summer break. We will discuss whether Lewis will make history again, whether Max has many Hungarian fans, and whether McLaren can add to their record tally of constructors' wins around the track. Joining me on the pod for tonight's Formula One fun are, once again, Perry Hamilton and Steve Rust. Gentlemen, how are you? How are you, Pet?
Outstanding, thank you.
You?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you very much. Very well. Steve, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Now, you just very briefly took your beautiful Porsche 944 to a car show and showed it off, and it looks immaculate. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Yeah, no, that was really good. It was in Len Wade, for anyone interested. I think they hold it about every other month on a Sunday. And, it was just there on display with lots of other cars from all eras and specs and types and everything. It was good fun.
Absolutely beautiful car. Len Wade, to everyone who's not in Norfolk, Google it. You'll find it. There's a great zoo. Is it a zoo? Safari park?
Dinosaur park, isn't it?
They're just a dinosaur park. Yeah, that's not real. Yeah. They're not. You know, real animals. Can I say that?
Just fiberglass ones.
No. I know they're not. I know they're not real there. But would you say dinosaurs are animals?
Well, they once were.
Yeah.
They were animals.
Yes.
A reptile is an animal.
A reptile is an animal, but there's actually a lot of evidence that suggests dinosaurs were warm-blooded rather than reptilian in nature. Reptilian, obviously, being cold-blooded, can't control their own body temperature.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll do our dinosaur series of podcasts soon. It's my fault. I keep opening
seriously? Can we seriously do a podcast on dinosaurs?
We could do one episode.
Oh, it'd be amazing. I'd love that.
I mean, I don't think, like,
I'll get my nephew. He knows everything. Yeah, he knows every. And we'll get Mav. He loves Jurassic Park, so fine.
I mean, I could host it. I don't know if I'd bring much to the party, but there we go. Anyway, before we get stuck into more of this, whatever this is the second pod of our three pods in 3 days. Our Silverstone review and F1 latest news pods, of course, are available to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find your link to get subscribed. We have got to look at Hungary. Of course, it is the Hungarian Grand Prix coming up. It is time for the camel on a surfboard. And what timing for Lewis, given he loves this place. But camel on the surfboard, are we all happy with that? We all saw the video on the social media channels.
I was in the video. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I use science to explain why the Hungara ring looks like a camel on a surfboard. It's very enlightening.
Now, I mean, to me, it's obvious. It's always looked like a camel on a surfboard, although I may have incorrectly called it a skateboard in the past. Is this a common thing? Does everyone look at it and realise that, or is it just me? Because normally when I bring it up, I say it as a matter of fact, yet people go, really? So do you think we are genuinely enlightening people, or is this like a worldwide joke?
Mike, everything we do enlightens people. Everything.
I'm absolutely taking that. Formula One, anyway, their actual racing action. Lewis Hamilton, he is by far and away the most successful driver ever to race around this track. I think he's won it five times, more than anyone else. Can add to that this year. And at the time when it just looks like from Silverstone, Mercedes have maybe just edged out the gap to Ferrari, Lewis seems back on it after what was an incredible weekend for him. This is perfect timing, isn't it? What a way to end the break with this place coming up.
Yeah, this is where Lewis can take the lead in the championship. He can, you know, sort of, he started the season struggling. Everyone was a bit surprised by Ferrari's pace, a bit surprised that it's a two-horse race. But he can go into the mid-season break having gone, do you know what, we've got the edge, you've got nothing, we're going to come back after this and we're just going to pound you into submission. So it's huge for Mercedes, it's huge.
Yeah, I quite agree. I think they've actually had the fastest car now for quite a number of races, maybe as far back as about four. But yeah, I don't think Ferrari really have the answer, to be honest. I think that there might be an odd race where that they might challenge them or might possibly be able to beat them to a win. But yeah, I think they're just going to take a pasting from there on in.
It's just funny how things change, isn't it, so quickly, because I know a few weeks ago I was convinced that Ferrari just would have the edge and that would be that, and now I find myself looking at it going, just the ominous signs of what Mercedes have done recently. As I mentioned, Lewis has won at this track 5 times in the last decade. All those wins have come 5 times in the last 10 years. 5 other people have won the race. Anyone want to have a guess at who those 5 people to have won the Hungarian Grand Prix are?
I suppose you'd have to give it. You'd have to say Michael Schumacher must be one of them. But I'm tending to thinking.
I think it might be a bit. I think it might be a bit late from Shuey.
I was then about thinking about Alonso, but then I suppose, like, Seb's got to come into that, hasn't he?
I'm going to say one is Kimi Raikkonen. Am I right?
No, I don't think so, although I was just trying to remember who they are. So let me just remember
who
they
are. You don't have them written down?
Yeah, I do.
JB?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, say again.
Jensen, JB, Jensen Button.
Jensen Button, exactly right. So you said Seb?
Yeah, well, I've many, but yeah.
Seb, Jensen, that's 2. Who else?
Fernando.
Well, I suggest Alonso, but no, not Fernando.
I don't think it is Fernando, no.
Okay, and we've said not Kimi.
Correct.
Wouldn't have been Rosberg, because Hamilton was knocking the crap out of this while Rosberg was in a competitive car. So you just got to think, Webber?
Yes.
Yeah?
So that's what we're on now, is that 3? It's not Fernando.
Okay, so not Fernando. So we've got 3.
Yeah.
We've got Jensen, we've got Mark Webber, and we've got Sebastian Vettel. So we know there's it, and there's 2 more.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not Kimi Raikkonen. And it's not Fernando Alonso, and it's not Pastor Maldonado. So
one of them is still on the grid, one of them isn't.
Oh. Felipe Massa.
Nope. Both of them have their place in this podcast as well.
It's not someone as far back as like Montoya is or anything like that, is it?
Similar-ish era.
Mick Hakkinen.
Very close in many ways, but actually later than that.
But not Kimi Raikkonen.
No.
Not Heikki.
Heikki
Kovalainen.
Which is only Grand Prix victory.
Oh, go on, Heikki. We love Heikki.
Heikki Kovalainen. NRF1 podcast favourite. Which still leaves one more.
Nate, wasn't it?
And that's one person who is still on the grid.
Yes. And it was only 2 years ago, I think.
And it wasn't Massa.
Bottas? 2014.
It wasn't Bottas. He got his first win with Merck.
Oh. You should see the cogs whirring here.
It is, it's painful. I'm trying to go.
Should I put you out of your misery?
No, God no.
Steve says yes, Ben says no. How long did it take to work down the grid?
Well, that's what I'm doing. Not Nico Hülkenberg.
No.
No? No, go on then, who?
Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, Ricky, yeah, of course.
Well, there we go, that was painful. I think we benefited from the game. It was good fun. I like that game. I like it. You over. Yeah, just for the record, Hamilton won it in 2007, 9, 12, 13 and 16. Heikki won it in 2008. Mark Webber in 2010. Jensen Button in 2011. Ricciardo in 2014. And Sebastian Vettel in 2015. So there we go. Woof. All pressure on Ferrari. Is that what we've decided? I think we were talking about it from the view of Mercedes. I mean, you said how big a weekend it is for Mercedes, but ultimately if Ferrari go and possibly muck it up a bit like they did at Silverstone, but also they're off the pace, that's a difficult position to go into the summer break.
I don't think the pressure is on Ferrari really, because now everyone's at the point where no one's expecting them. Everyone's kind of going, Ferrari off the pace, like you've just said, Ferrari off the pace, Merck have got that. And the killer thing for Merck is they've got that magic qualifying button. They've got that magic setting that they flip their engine up, they turn their engine up to 11, and off they go.
The car is just faster. It's not anything magic. They've just made it faster. And everybody keeps alluding to this thing on Saturday, but it's Sunday as well. So the car is just faster. It's not a button.
But if you have an engine set up that allows you to get the most pace out of the car for that last qualifying session, you don't need to use it in sessions 1 and 2 because you just need to get through, and you've got a car that's fast enough to do that on default setting.
They all do it. They all turn the wick up for the final session.
But that's what we're saying, is that the wick goes a little bit higher for Merck than it does for its other teams. They create the fastest engine on the grid. They've integrated it into their car better than anyone. They know how to get the best out of that engine without putting it under too much stress. I would argue they do get maybe 1, 2, 3 more BPH than any other team on the grid.
If it has changed either way, away, then that, is that Mercedes progressing and have Ferrari just not nailed that same progression? Have they become lazy?
Mercedes have got massive resources and they've got a collection of all of the best people in Formula 1, including James Allison, who was at Ferrari, don't forget.
Certainly in terms of quality of people, but Ferrari have got massive resources.
Not as big as Mercedes. You know, Mercedes is much, much more. They've just developed the car aerodynamically. It is quick. I think the car probably was always quicker, but they just had difficulties with trying to get it in the right window for setup. But I think they've got to the bottom of that, and they have improved it in the meantime as well. It is just quicker.
We've spoken a fair bit about Julian Palmer. Someone else is going to have big pressure on him this weekend. I mean, he needs to go out there, hope the car will do him justice and show what he's got, really, because it could quite possibly be his last chance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he necessarily has to pull off the performance of his life in terms of scoring quite big points. I think as long as he just finishes ahead of Hulkenberg, unless Hulkenberg has an absolutely dire race and that's, you know, back of the grid job and he's just ahead. But if he can outperform Hulkenberg, then keep his head above water.
Well, hopefully this time they'll have the same floor on the car, so therefore it'll actually be a fair comparison, because that was one thing they didn't have in Silverstone. I think basically Nico's car was several tenths quicker because it was a massive upgrade.
I don't know, one swallow does not a summer make. I think even if he does well at this race, he's still got pressure on him. You know, blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So I don't see that even a good race here would be anything to affect his future going forward.
Be interesting to see how many Max Verstappen fans are there. Apparently Spa is very close to being sold out because of all the Verstappen fans coming along to enjoy the Belgian Grand Prix, because it's the closest one to Holland. So we'll see how that pans out. I'm sure there'll be a few flags for him. Not that Hungary is that close to the Netherlands necessarily. And McLaren hopeful of points. That's what I read. No constructor. This is remarkable. They've won at the Hungarian Grand Prix 11 times. No constructor's even close to that. Just a little reminder of this team that's so now that, well, back in the day, pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And let's not forget this week McLaren revealed that Mercedes and Ferrari wouldn't power them, and they actually said that they thought that their reason was that both of those teams quite enjoy seeing McLaren struggling and not having them breathing down their necks as a competitor like they did in the past.
I could not get my mouth around saying McLaren Ferrari. Like, if they put a Ferrari power unit in that car, I couldn't get my mouth around saying it. Doesn't seem right. Just doesn't seem right.
You can't blame Mercedes for saying, no, you're right, thanks, we'll just power our own car.
We make enough money, so we're not strapped for cash. We don't have to do it that way. We're not looking for any... What more brand exposure do they need in Formula 1 than what they already have? Multiple-time world champions, multiple-time driver champion. They make the safety car, for God's sake. I mean, what more exposure do they need? They don't need to sell their engine to any more teams, especially not a team that could be a legitimate contender and has a winning culture and a history of success.
The irony is, I'm not sure you stick a better engine in that car, it necessarily goes as quickly as everyone thinks it does.
No, I don't think that, but that's another story really, isn't it?
What does the summer break mean for these guys then? There's a couple of weeks, aren't there, where they definitely have to shut down. They have to properly do nothing for 2 weeks on the cars, so they do at least get a break for half of the summer break. I mean, what does it mean? They've obviously got the test coming up, so there's going to be a bit of shuffling and looking around for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? How do you police it? Yeah, you shut everything down, and that means that you've got people who aren't in factories and they're not doing wind testing or anything like that. But you're going to what? Confiscate their laptops from their home or iMacs or whatever it is they're on. People, they're going to work, and that's what they're going to do. They're always, especially those teams that are middle to the back or teams that are struggling, you know, McLarens we talked about. They are going to be grinding. They are going to be doing all of the work that they want over those 2 weeks. How do you police it? You can't. So they're going to be coming back to their office going, oh, what a refreshing 2 weeks off I've had. By the way, if X goes to Y, nice. And that's what they're going to be doing.
I do love the fact they've got these cameras with a constant live stream beamed back to Paris in terms of the wind tunnel usage. But in terms of laptops, I would imagine that's a lot harder, Steve.
Yeah, I'm sure it goes on. I'm sure it does. I mean, you can remember all the stories back in the 90s with Ferrari and McLaren reportedly doing all sorts. So I'm sure it does. I'm sure.
final question is the big one. By the way, I should say we're here at the Rush Cutters pub in Thorpe St Andrew. It's lovely in here, isn't it? With the firm favourite? I mean, we've been to other pubs.
No, I do like it. So, I mean, yeah, I do like it, yeah.
Oh, hang on, there was a butt there, Kevin.
Well, they're slightly limited on their tap selection is all I'd say. Yes. But you know, plenty in bottles available if you want it. So not the end of the world.
The Buck is just down the road, so I'm sure we'll end up at the Buck before the end of the season. Just you know, sample it. We did our survey pod there, didn't we? The 4-hour marathon that you saw you kind of falling asleep and getting a bit angry by the end, Steve.
No, that never happens. That's a lie.
Yeah, well, you can listen to I think it was episode 160, if I remember off the top of my head, so give it a listen. I think that was a big one. It's all up here, Steve, so it's very important. Anyway, yeah, most important weekend for this weekend. Who is it most important week for?
I'm going to try and talk about someone other than who we've already talked about. So we've already talked about McLaren, and we've already talked about Jolyon, and we've already talked about the Mercs and the Ferrari. So let's say, I'm going to say Max Verstappen. He just needs to get some luck. He just needs a car that works, and he needs to show what he can do consistently, because at the moment he's very clearly the number two driver in that team, and that's a shame because he's a young, exciting driver who's got a massive career ahead of him, and he's got such an old head on his shoulders. We've talked about him many times, but I think Max, aside from all the guys we've already talked about, I think Max needs to have a bang on race to really give him the confidence going into the break so that he can come back afterwards and make a really solid run, fourth place in the championship, maybe third, you know, who's it? We'll see.
But the interesting thing on that is how well Daniel Ricciardo has done in just picking up these results when the opportunities have come along. And even though I wouldn't necessarily say he's quicker than Max, he's just done such a good job. And if he can actually do that when Max is finishing and getting a bit of luck, that would be massive for him. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's quite a difficult one because we can't really discuss, like you said, you know, all of the obvious ones. But I suppose I did a bit of a different shot out there up at Williams. We've had quite a few tough races now, you know, and I think for them they need a good result, don't they?
And I've got a film coming out, of course, as well, so there's a bit of a distraction there.
Yes, very true, yeah.
We'll have to make sure we catch it at some point and do a review. You'd like to be up for that, doing a film review?
Well, I could finally put my master's to good use.
Which was in?
Film studies.
Well, that would help, yeah. That would be a good one.
Film analysis, yeah.
That's perfect, ideal. Right, we'll do that then.
World's most useless masters, just so
I'm sure there are. If anyone knows of a more useless masters, then let us know. I'm sure there is one.
I look forward to the silence because I'm pretty sure there isn't. So
the only one for most important weekend I want to submit is Toro Rosso, because those two drivers are running into each other constantly. They need to sort themselves out pronto, or, you know, they might both get binned off before the end of the season. Who knows? Right, plug for the social media channels: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at the NR RF1 is a handle you need. Lots of chances for you to interact and subscribe, support us, sign up over the rest of the season. We've got blogs on the website nrf1.uk, so check those out, and hopefully we'll have some betting tips from Kyle if his sunburn has subsided from the British Grand Prix. Essentially everything you need to know and to find out, and loads of other extra stuff will be on the website, so have a look there, and get in touch with us by email as well, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. On its way, the Prediction League update. If you want to get involved in this season's Prediction League, it's dead simple. You just need to get your predictions in on our Twitter and Facebook pages before the start of FP1, ahead of each race weekend. We'll take care of the rest, and you'll see we have dedicated podcasts for that. The dedicated Hungarian Grand Prix predictions podcast is on its way in a matter of moments, but for now, goodbye from our guests. Perry Hamilton enjoying a bit of Phil Collins.
It is the Phil Collins version as well. I'd say it's You Can't Hurry Love, but I would have taken Phil or Diana, not bothered. Anyway, goodbye.
Steve.
Goodbye, yeah.
and myself. Thanks to our proud partners. You can't hurry that. Anyway. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The third of our three pods in 3 days will be with you next as we predict whether the camel will come off its surfboard and other big calls ahead of the Hungarian Grand Prix round in our Stellar Prediction League. Until then, goodbye.